Family Life's Noon Report this Monday will include special features on honor guards and ritual teams who serve in our area, the stories behind some of the traditions at military funerals, and first-person reflections from local VAs, a national cemetery, and a bugler. Join us for a special edition of the Noon Report, our Memorial Day tribute, this Monday on Family Life.
Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome to this holiday special from Family Life News. During this half hour, we will consider the significance of the Memorial Day holiday, especially to those who have served their country, and especially for those who have been willing to lay down their lives for the causes of peace, justice, and freedom. You will hear from current service personnel and military veterans from the Family Life listening area. They will offer their stories, some reflections on life and death and Christian faith, and the importance of the rituals and music which add tradition and meaning to military funerals. If you have served in your nation's military, if you are currently enlisted, or are a military family, this tribute is for you. For those among us who are simply beneficiaries of those who have served, please stay tuned. Before we are done, we'll also have an interview about how Decoration Day and visiting a cemetery can bring blessings, even as we remember our loved ones who were civilians. Along with Abigail Hofflin, I'm Greg Gillespie. Our Memorial Day tribute begins with my conversation with Richard Naylor, the chaplain for the rituals team of the American Legion of Corning, New York.
Honor guards, when we do military funerals, are supplied by the branch of service. An example is if it's a deceased Army veteran, we would have Army personnel from the Army National Guard or from possibly regular Army troops from Fort Drum if the Guard troops are not available. So we are what you call a veterans support organization. And we support the honor guards who really are in charge of the military honors, and we support them. Their mission is to do the flag fold, present the flag to the next of kin, give the proper speech.
Why is it important for us to have these military rituals at funerals? What does it mean to you to be able to serve the person who has passed away, as well as the families as they're gathered us at a cemetery?
Well, Greg, I believe the best answer I can give, for me personally, it's such an honor, a privilege to be able to send a veteran off properly to the Supreme Commander, and I see the family, you know, I'm right up there with the family, and that's satisfying, and I always talk about we're here to support you during a difficult time.
I spoke with Richard Naylor, a 30-year veteran of the Army National Guard, shortly after the rituals team he leads had carried out their roles at a military funeral at Bath National Cemetery. Naylor is the longtime chaplain for the American Legion Rituals Team. What I did not tell you about Richard Naylor until now is that he continues to provide leadership at funerals, Memorial Day services, Veterans Day events, and more, even at age 91. As you heard, the American Legion team attends funerals at National Cemetery at Bath, New York, in the southern tier of the state. For more about the significance of that hallowed ground, here is my Family Life colleague, Abigail Hofland.
Dan Miller is a Vietnam veteran, Navy medic, and volunteer with the VA in Bath, New York. Here's some of my recent conversation with him about the significance of Memorial Day.
I was in the Navy in 1967. I enlisted and spent 4 years as a Navy hospital corpsman, almost all of that time with the Marine Corps, 18 months in Vietnam. Flying helicopter medevac missions. And so then I was in the Navy again for a second time in the late 70s, working in medical administration.
What do you see as the primary significance of Memorial Day? And what is it like to observe this every year as a veteran yourself?
I think the primary significance for Memorial Day originally and still is to honor those who have given their lives, what we call the ultimate sacrifice, for the defense and the freedoms of our nation. And to me, it's very important that we do have this memorial on an annual basis because, as with so many things, things that are not actively remembered are forgotten before very long. And we certainly don't want to forget the sacrifice that has been made by so many over the years, decades, centuries, really, of our nation's history.
Tell me about your current work with veterans.
My work right now is I volunteer at the VA Medical Center here in Bath, New York. I work in the museum one morning a week, and we have five rooms here. Each room is designated for one era of U.S. warfare or conflict. And it goes all the way back primarily to the Civil War, because this center was originally opened as a soldiers and sailors home for Union Civil War veterans in 1878.
Wow.
And served at one point, had over 2,000 Union Civil War veterans living here, and has also over 4,200 Civil War veterans buried here in the National Cemetery that are on the grounds here at the Bath VA Center.
For those who have not served or have had family members serve, can you help us understand the importance of military funerals and things like 21-gun salutes and folding the flag, presenting it to the family and that sort of thing?
Well, again, I think it's all part of honoring those who have served and or given their lives in service to our nation. And so that whole ceremony of flag folding and playing of taps by a bugler and the 21-gun salute, I think just add to the honor and the memory of those who have been part of defending our nation over the years, not only those who have been wounded or given their lives, but all those who have served honorably in any capacity in our armed forces.
In the decades following the World Wars, almost everyone had a father and then later a grandfather who served in some way. And nowadays, that's simply not the case, in part perhaps because we haven't had recent conflict on a world scale, which, of course, is a good thing. But do you think the lack of personal connection for the younger generations is affecting their view of the military?
Certainly after World War One and after World War Two and the Korean War and Vietnam and on, after each one of these wars and conflicts, there's a heightened awareness of military service and the part that that plays. But then as time goes by, it seems very logical that that would diminish on some level. On the other hand, it does seem that at one time or another, over these years, we have been had some level of engagement with mm-hmm. conflicts, and most recent being Afghanistan, which we just left in the last 2 years. So there is always, it seems to me, there's always that awareness, if people care to be aware, of the fact that we are engaged on a worldwide basis and the importance of maintaining a strong military as part of our nation's defense.
Yeah, I love what you said earlier about how if we don't actively remember things, then they're going to be forgotten. So kind of on that topic, for those of us who haven't served or maybe don't have a direct military connection, but still want to create a culture of honoring those in our armed forces, what are some practical ways we can do that?
I think the most practical ways is to participate in the services that are held on Memorial Day. There's going to be one here at the Bath National Cemetery. And also the services on Veterans Day on November 11th every year. I know that I try each year to get my extended family to attend with me those services because I think that's a large, very large part of remembering and memorializing those who have served.
That's insight from local veteran and VA volunteer Dan Miller. Abigail Hoffland, Family Life News.
You are listening to our Memorial Day tribute special on Family Life. Upcoming a bit later, the iconic notes of Taps, the first-person experiences of someone who plays the bugle at military funerals, plus a songwriter whose song is a more recent addition to selections you may hear on patriotic holidays, composed for a grandfather and for a milestone event for the Tomb of the Unknowns. Now, though, I have the privilege to introduce you to an Army captain who grew up in the Family Life listening area. Luke Ferenzi has served in multiple places stateside and overseas and is now a trainer with an Army helicopter unit in California. I asked if he would be willing to talk about how military personnel deal with the all-too-real reality that those who wear their nation's uniform, of every generation, have been surrounded by life and death, by danger and duty, and by valor and camaraderie every day.
With the military, of course, I think it goes almost without being said that there are, of course, dangers associated with that and can be hazardous at times, not only during times of war when our nation's facing a threat, but also when we're getting ready to face that threat in times of training. Soldiers do a great job of having an amazing sense of humor when they show up to work every day. I think soldiers tend to make light on an everyday basis to keep the job fun and exciting, and I can't wait to show up to work every day. But that is a consideration in the back of everyone's minds, right? That something could at any time go wrong. I've been incredibly impressed with the resiliency and mental toughness of the men and women in uniform who every day put that in the back of their mind and still show up to work and work hard. And I admire that so much about my coworkers and colleagues. And it's just a real honor to be able to work with some of my heroes on a daily basis.
Captain Luke Ferenzi is one of our guests on our Memorial Day weekend special here on Family Life. Each situation is obviously different, but what is, from your perspective, the response that the military does to reach out to family members who lose a loved one while they are in service to their country?
It's amazing to see how the military community as a whole surrounds those families and the other soldiers affected by those friendships and those tight bonds formed in the military and time spent with those soldiers and getting to know those families and wrapping those people I love and bringing them into the fold and going through that grieving process, like I said. I think that price, although unfortunate, that it has to be paid is well worth the cost in the long run for the training and the missions being flown to keep the United States, which I believe is the best country that's ever existed, at the forefront, being such a global force for good.
I would be interested if you'd be willing to tell a little bit more about how the military provides that support. What's that like for folks in your unit to be supportive of the family members of the fallen soldiers or the friends, the folks who were in their unit?
I think, unfortunately, when we suffer a loss of a fellow soldier, the military does an amazing job, not only notifying the immediate family members, but also providing them direct support with a one-on-one soldier for the rest of this grieving process that they walk through. The families are brought in to the unit to meet a few of the other soldiers that that service member served alongside. A lot of the service members, of course, are incredibly close to our fellow soldiers to our right and left, not only through the several weeks that follow as a very hard period, but also for the rest of that family's life. Those families are given the status of a Gold Star family, a family who has lost a service member. And those Gold Star families are given reverence and preference on military installations and recognized. And so those family members and families are always regarded very highly in the military community.
Army Captain Luke Ferenzi, a New York native now serving at Fort Irwin in Southern California. You'll hear from him again a bit later on the topic of how Christian faith shapes battle-tested sacrifice. Our next guest is John T. Brown. We wanted to share with you the perspective of someone who plays the bugle for the widely recognizable song, which begins with three soul-stirring musical notes.
Thank you.
When did you first play the bugle at a military funeral?
Oh, I think I was in the seventh grade. I would sit in the principal's office, and Mr. Darfus was the funeral director, come by. Then I'd leave the school and hop in the hearse and ride with him to wherever the burial service was going to occur. And sometimes he'd even pay me.
How many funerals do you take part in an average year, would you say?
I don't know that, but I do keep track of my calendar. And on the 31st of May, I'll do an Army service at the Bath National Cemetery, and that will be my 269th since I started with the American Legion.
John, can you tell us about the process of what people have said to you after Taps is played on a bugle, something so traditional?
It's always been appreciation. I've had women come up to me and put their hand on my arm and with tears in their eyes, thanking me for the service. I've had men come up too. One of the, there's a naval officer, an older fella that's high in rank, and he came up to me and said, "I want you to play for my funeral. My tears came to my eyes when you played the Navy hymn, in addition to sounding Taps after the three volleys of the rifles. While they're folding the flag, I will play the hymn for that particular service. And if they request, I'll do Amazing Grace," or that's about what I do. And then when the urn or the coffin is being brought to the assembly location, I will play Dvorak's Going Home.
That really is important at a time that is so tender in people's emotional reactions. How is it for you to be part of providing that music that is so meaningful to folks?
Well, it's emotional on all sides. I'm sure the gentleman with the rifles, it's emotional to them, and they're very, very loyal and generally always respond with a yes to Richard Naylor when he makes the request. I know it's emotional for me as well. Sometimes there's one of the most emotional ones ever for me was at the Bath National Cemetery about a year ago. And I guess it's happened more times than I was aware. A homeless person was a military funeral. And the Bath National Cemetery brought out their emergency vehicles, the fire trucks, their emergency vehicles. All the employees who worked there were all dressed up and standing at attention. The Bath emergency vehicle was there. Police were there. And there was not one family member for the deceased there. It was all people from the Bath National Cemetery, the Bath Village, that came to honor that particular veteran's death. And I was also there once when the during COVID, and it was one of the national days, but no one could go. They had a limit of 9 people could be there. And the director of both Woodlawn and the Bath National Cemetery was there. He made a little speech. I was there to do Taps, and there was a cameraman there. 4 of the groundspeople were there, all dressed up. I think it was made the total of 9, which was a requirement. And there was a representative from the Pentagon, and they filmed it. And the thing that I was most impressed with was the director of the 2 national cemeteries said that Abraham Lincoln had started the national cemeteries, and he said that a soldier dies twice. He dies once in the battlefield, and the second death is when people forget about him. And he said, that's why we will always have national cemeteries.
John T. Brown, a bugler for military funerals in the Family Life listening area. Along with Abigail Hoffland, I'm Greg Gillespie, and this is our Memorial Weekend Tribute Special. Still to come on Family Life, the composer for Pershing's own Army Band and a powerful song which she wrote, a pastoral perspective on visiting cemeteries, whether your loved one is a civilian or service personnel, and a soldier's words on how service to Jesus Christ aligns with service in war and peace. Army Captain Luke Ferenzi tells us about his faith in Christ, how that gives insight and promise to those who take their discipleship into one of the branches of the military. especially as we ponder Memorial Day. Ferenczi says he and his Christ-following colleagues have biblical affirmation to cling to and faith-sharing opportunities to explore.
John 3:16, which I think we all know, but another great Bible verse that I think succinctly sums up the gospel and also Christians' motivation in life would be 1 John 3:16, which says, "And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And I think that's incredibly pertinent to those serving in the military and in uniform. Of course, Jesus laid down his life for our eternal freedom. But how much greater would that be for us as witnesses for Christ to be able and willing to lay down our lives, if only for others' earthly freedom? I think a lot of people in the military I know that are Christians have an amazing heart for service. And the chaplain corps is great at nurturing to our spiritual needs as well. And I believe that serving in the military holds a much higher calling than just this nation for me. And I know that's the same for my other friends serving as well. I've been so blown away by the actions of those Christians serving alongside others, witnessing for Christ, and amazed at how receptive a lot of people are to that when the hard times come, or when it gets difficult.
Army Captain Luke Ferenczi. As this Family Life Memorial tribute continues, I get to share with you some background on the theme music you have heard during this half-hour special. It's called Journey Home. It was composed fairly recently by a music arranger for the Army Band, which carries Pershing's Own as its identity. The composer is the first woman to serve as the arranger for Pershing's Own. Within a Memorial Day concert video provided by the U.S. Army a few years ago, then a staff sergeant, Sarah Corey also has 3 degrees as a musician, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate. Here is her story of how Journey Home became meaningful music.
My favorite story about Lieutenant Colonel George Corey, my grandpa, was when he used to take me and my siblings on cross-country road trips. He would pile us all into a camper van, and he would bring us to different airfields and show us the different planes that he used to fly. He would even point at the different planes and show us the little scratches and tell us the stories about how they got them. My grandfather is actually buried in Section 54 of Arlington National Cemetery, and I feel incredibly blessed to be working here. So I am very lucky in that I can go to the cemetery, I can speak to my grandfather, and I can leave wreaths during Christmas time, and I can leave flags during Memorial Day to honor his memory. So I will be sharing a piece that I wrote called Journey Home with you today. Journey Home was a piece that I wrote that was inspired by the centennial of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
I invite you to take 2 minutes to hear the full song. First, Taps at the Tomb of the Unknowns, and then Journey Home, presented by the U.S. Army Band's Herald Trumpets.
Thank you.
In the last couple of minutes of our Memorial Weekend special, I want to expand our theme because for many of our listeners and web visitors, Memorial Day is very personal, even for loved ones who were not in the military. In fact, there is an overlap between Memorial Day and the parallel Decoration Day. Many people will visit cemeteries, decorate final resting places with flowers, and remember a friend, relative, or colleague, people whose lives influenced their lives. For perspectives on gravesites and mementos, and memories and trust, Abigail Hofflin spoke with Northwest Pennsylvania pastor Keith Sundberg.
Abigail, Christians have different theologies about when we go to heaven and the final judgment. I think for those who see it in the future, the grave is a sacred place of waiting. For those who see resurrection as immediate upon a death, the grave is a place of respect, for it was the last place they saw their loved one and laid to rest their familiar frame. For some, I think the cemetery is unimportant. They treasure their loved ones in their hearts and in their prayers. Cemeteries are the location that we place the physical remains of our loved ones, but cemeteries are essentially for the living. There we said our goodbyes, and now we can do our remembering if we choose. For those who find cemeteries a meaningful place, surviving family and friends visit, they plant flowers, they clean the stone. I wanted to comment that grief is lifelong. We never stop loving them, so there's always at least a little bit of sadness. And whether at the cemetery or in the quiet place of our choosing, there's grief work to do. For example, my father died at the age of 56 when I was 32 years old. With each new decade of my own aging, I remember words and choices of my father and began to understand him better. With 9 grandchildren of my own, I can smile as he did when he saw my children. I understand growing older. I also understand what growing older meant to him. I understand his faith better and his commitment to the church. As for me, I stop at the cemetery only once or twice a year. But I remember my father and mother and grandparents and sister every day. Sometimes alone, but often in unexpected moments. Something happens or is said and my memories flood back.
The Reverend Keith Sundberg of Erie. And that is our Memorial Day special. We thank you for listening. We're also grateful for all of the guests we spoke with. Special thanks as well for production help by Dave Margolotti and Bob Price. This special edition is also available 24/7 for listening and downloading from the news podcast page of our website, familylife.org. Along with Abigail Hofflin, I'm Greg Gillespie, Family Life News. May you have a happy, meaning-filled, and blessed Memorial Day weekend.